Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Doug Kahl and Joanne Chan from Invista. And today we're going to talk about important steps to achieving global freight management success. Global freight management is something that more and more companies are kind of grappling with as their supply chains and their transportation networks become, you know, much more global. But obviously, there's so many different aspects and layers of complexity involved with global freight management as compared to domestic transportation or domestic freight management. And that's some of the topics that we're going to kind of explore today with both Doug and Joanne. So very excited that they're both in the program. And Joanne is actually joining us from Singapore, where it's already the next day there. So I certainly appreciate her making the time to participate at that early hour for her. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this, you know, conversational. So if you do have a question for Doug or Joanne as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And if we have time and it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. So with that, Doug, Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian.
Good to be here.
Good to be here too. Thanks, Adrian.
Great. Well, Doug, let me start with you and kind of as a way to kind of introduce the topic and maybe start out with a very basic and kind of a high level question. I mean, what are some of the main challenges that companies face with global freight management?
You know, Adrian, I believe that in order to achieve global freight process management success, your business needs to understand the people, the processes, and the systems integration necessary to compete in today's global marketplace. Some companies have grasped hold of transportation visibility, you know, freight process management, but many companies, particularly those that work on a global scale, they are struggling to achieve process management visibility. You know, among some of those leading causes are, you know, managing import-export compliance restrictions. Secondly, the various duties and requirements that vary amongst the countries they're doing business in. You can add in the high cost of comprehensive and accurate business. And also sometimes the confusing nature of working with and managing disparate systems among various global locations. And that's not just externally with their supply chain trading partners, but also
looks like we might have lost you know, Doug there. All right, is that the case for you, Joanne? Do you see Doug?
He froze for a few seconds.
Yeah, so let me, you know, we'll work on getting Doug back on.
On a global level. Well, certainly state-of-the-art transportation management systems help achieve visibility. You know, there's still a solid role for your freight audit payment processes, but also vitally important is the integration and implementation of congruent systems across the supply chain to obtain optimal results.
You know, thanks, Doug. You, unfortunately, you cut out a little bit there. You know, you lost connectivity there, so we lost a little bit of the audio we were talking about there. But I think you hit upon a lot of, you know, good topics that I think we want to dive in, you know, more detail during our conversation here. Certainly, you talked about just some of the regulatory and compliance issues that are big, and I know that's an area that I want to, you know, explore with Joanne a little bit as well down in our conversation here. You also talked about the role of technology and data, which is something I want to dive into. So Joanne, I mean, you know, a top priority for, you know, for many companies is, you know, as kind of Doug, you know, mentioned early on in his comment, is gaining visibility across their, you know, global transportation network. But you know, it remains a struggle, you know, because data and information, you know, spread out across so many different IT systems and entities. I mean, how are companies addressing, you know, this issue, and what are some leading practices that you're seeing?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of challenges today in working in multiple platforms. For example, you can have a customer who wants to access the data from the US and and that the data is actually nature, and you try to put the data from Europe to get a sense of what's going on in the world. So some companies are even challenged to answer even the most basic questions like, what is your average effort spent a month per lane? So this typically is a lack of, you know, integrated systems and normalized data as well. So the challenge today, it's not just happening internationally. So for example, you know, you have several entities basically in China, or, you know, even spread out to different countries in Asia. So such customers waste no time actually in finding a supplier or a partner who is able to provide a single source of data solution and have had successful results in developing integration of any ERP systems across multiple locations in a global environment. So many look into suppliers providing a cloud-based solution or any remote access technology with a secure web-based application. And we have to understand even how advanced technology is today. A lot of the manufacturing industries today cover areas which are less developed. So that means there's very, you know, there's minimum IT infrastructure in those companies, but yet companies leverage on their partners' platform and try to capture and gather data in the most simplest way and translate it into the form of EDI and feed it back into the systems. So we recognize today a lot of companies run very lean organizations as well and do not have resources available to run cross-functional projects. So there's a search actually in Asia for a lot of companies seeking for a global player who understands the different regions and the challenges to run more cost-effective models for them. This goes beyond actually executing of shipments and shipment tracking. Companies tend to look at it as creating a system that is to manage the exceptions based process management for the users. So not just for one location, but for, you know, the network globally. Again, this allows someone in the US to be able to access and have visibility of what's happening on the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you touched upon cloud technology, which is certainly something that I'm seeing from a technology standpoint as creating kind of this platform where companies across multiple different locations can, you know, access information and input information. And that's, I think, is certainly helping out in this area. And I think you raise another important point, which I think is good to kind of a good segue over to Doug now. Doug, can you hear me now?
I'm back, Adrian. Apologies for that.
Great. No worries. I mean, that's the beauty of doing live programs like this. And sometimes the IT gods don't cooperate. But, you know, building upon what Joanne just said, I think one of the challenges historically, you know, has been in terms of gathering this data. You know, one thing is that the fact that it resides in many different systems and different formats. The other one is that you have to, communicate and exchange data and information across many different entities, you know, whether it's freight forwarders, you know, carriers, customs agencies. I mean, how are, you know, companies addressing B2B connectivity with all these different entities, especially since EDI is really not a one-size-fits-all solution, particularly when you're talking about, you know, small partners in developing countries that might be part of your supply chain ecosystem?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the IT gods, and this is certainly a place where you would love to play that card, right? But short of that, you know, some of the challenges, you know, my first question, I mentioned the vital importance of integration and implementation to build a congruent system. So, you know, we start off with some of those integration problems and challenges. You know, first off, you know, there is poor connectivity communication with the training partner community. Right? Example here on this webcast this morning. Secondly, sometimes in many instances with supply chain, you know, training partner management platforms, you know, solutions can become costly. Often they're antiquated, they could be rigid, and you have scalability issues. When those things are in place, we still sometimes have, while this common EDI platform, there could still be multiple formats from various trading partner communications that come across. And then sometimes when trading partners can communicate with you, they just don't have the resources in place to adjust to any type of new formats, more efficient systems, or particularly international formats. You know, in previous conversations and talking logistics, you know, you've had Dominic McGuff, one of our you know, managing partners over in Europe in the EMEA region. And then Dominic gave a recent conversation. He had done some research and he found out that the estimated cost for manually processing a transaction, you know, US, $23. The cost for a lost document, $120. Manually researching, finding, identifying that a document's lost and reloading it, you know, $200. So, you know, it's not just connectivity, IT, system capabilities, but there's real dollars that, you know, that we're talking about. And while any one of those dollar figures may not seem like much, when you start adding it up, document after document, they can add up relatively quickly. We're looking to try to build a truly trading partner management platform, having the people, the processes, the system integration, you know, in place is vitally important to compete in today's global market. And then, you know, we toss in the complexity of freight movements that generate multiple documents. Some of them are electronic, some of them are paper. So, you know, global companies and global process management really do have a, you know, have a challenge in front of them.
You know, I like how you refer to, you know, this B2B platform, connectivity platform, as being more than just technology, right? In terms of the, you know, really having a process in place and really having the people element that really never goes away and is really a critical, you know, part of that. I think a lot of times, and myself included, you know, when we think of B2B connectivity, you know, we immediately think of an IT solution, right? And I think what you just talked about there was the fact that, you know, that there's certainly process behind that and certainly people, you know, behind that. And you know, it reminds me of, you know, reality out there in the supply chain logistics executive experience every day is the reality that, you know, B2B connectivity, particularly when you're talking about EDI, or you're talking about systems where computers are talking to computers, you know, it works beautifully when things go according to plan. But the moment any exception occurs, that's where process and particularly people kick in terms of trying to resolve those exceptions. So I think your point is you know, very good that it's more than just you know, technology. Just to stay with you, Doug, here and to build upon what you just talked about. I mean, gathering data and documents and all that is one thing. You know, making sure it's useful in managing global freight management, you know, more effectively is another thing, right? So what type of data is you know, most important, and what actions should, you know, companies take to ensure its quality?
Sure. Yeah, you know, Adrian, let's start and just understand that, you know, there's a predictable flow of how commerce operates. You know, we have, in some way, shape, or form, raw materials that we bring into manufacturing, and our, you know, manufacturing could be a simple or complex, single, multi, you know, process location set up, and then we get into distribution to ultimately go to the, you know, the retail outlet, and if we want to, for fun, you know, just toss in, you know, the returns management as well. You know, this flow needs, you know, freight process management to deliver value to the business, ultimately customer satisfaction to maintain and gain market share and grow, cost controls to contribute to corporate profitability, support, you know, sustainable green initiatives, and really help a organization, a business sustain its, you know, its legacy. So, you know, when we're talking about the types of data and you know, documentation, right, we have the packing invoice, you know, we have the various bills of lading, we can have, you know, advanced ship notices, delivery notifications, status messages, export documents or import documents, you know, broker documents and invoices. If we also want to take a look at adding additional internal data, you know, we can put in purchase order files or an order match authorization file from, you know, from the company. And of course, we have the carrier, you know, freight bills and invoices, you know, both from origin providers to get it to port, you know, ocean air freight to move it around the world, and then destination providers. You know, one thing that I also notice and follow, Adrian, you know, American Shipper Magazine has a series of reports each year they produce an annual report on freight payment and settlement. And there was one quote that that really struck me from this year's report, and it was that a new element of this year's study was an examination of freight invoice accuracy by mode. Respondents were asked to provide the percentage of invoices that were accurate for all three modes, ocean, trucking, and air. What was surprising was how similar the accuracy results were among those three modes, but it was also disheartening to see that barely 1 in 10 invoices among all modes was accurate. So if anything, this underscores the necessity of putting in place a really rigorous process to identify the inaccuracies, improve the accuracies, give a complex and comprehensive visibility view within your global freight process management platform.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I think when the last point that you brought up in terms of the accuracy of the freight invoices, I mean, it goes to show you. I mean, and this is a complicated question for a difficult question for domestic transportation folks to answer sometimes, which is arguably the most simplest one, which is how much you spend on transportation annually, right? And it becomes, you would think that would be an easy question to answer. But then when you look at it from a global perspective, you realize, that it becomes even more complex now when you're dealing with multiple modes and with carriers that, in different regions of the world, so on and so forth. So again, I think, putting in place the right measures and understanding, those types of statistics that you mentioned, in terms of where the shortfalls might be and really truly having timely and accurate visibility, is crucially important. So, Joanne, I want to, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can.
Great. Something that was, speaking of added complexity and layers of difficulty, one of the major differences, as I mentioned earlier, between domestic and global transportation is dealing with customs compliance and regulations, which obviously vary by country and are continuously changing. So, I mean, in your experience, how are leading companies kind of managing this added layer of complexity?
Well, companies are recognizing this. Some countries, which was never really in a VAT or any GST tax environment. But today, they're in this tax regulated environment today, which a lot of us kind of avoid in a lot of countries in Asia or even in EMEA. In the lights of China and Malaysia, where business tax in the logistics industry was replaced by the VAT progressively in the last 2 or 3 years, there are companies today who are new to a lot of Asia buyers. On product price, and then they have bad experiences when they have to pay in their destination country, which is not part of the budget. So we recognize landed costs also includes custom duties as well as taxes as well. So what a lot of companies do today is they're driving that data capturing into the agreed Incoterms with the suppliers, and this allows them to define the costs associated with their agreed Incoterms and handle exceptions on a case-to-case basis if the agreed Incoterms is not in line with the charges imposed on them from the carriers. And I start to see that companies are also wanting to capture data from more than what we traditionally see on a 3PL billing invoice. There is a need to include description of cargo. There's a need to include VAT from numbers from the shipper and consignee, custom registration codes, permit numbers and all that each time. There's a clearance of the cargo. So it actually helps them, to provide that one source of database to provide them with the ability to manage such customs-related exceptions on a case-to-case basis. So companies are seeking out for their partners in freight management in handling the audit of such charges in such a environment or costs associated with the custom clearance and allocating such costs in an automated process. They're able to look at seeking partners to connect with their custom brokerage as well, and to provide actually milestones on customs related activities. So we're looking at you know, from the point of the shipment arrival to the total time of the cargo being cleared, you know, at customs and to final delivery. So these are kind of the milestones that customers are driving, not just looking at moving the freight activities, but also as well as the custom clearance side of things. So this helps them to actually, you know, capture, and actually also one of the areas is to store import and export documents and any customs related documents really with the freight audit, the freight management partner to drive their initiatives on data collection as well as reporting as well.
Yeah, it's I think what you just said there, I think underscores what we talked about earlier, and you know, just the importance of, you know, the communication and collaboration that's required between all the different, you know, parties that are involved in a global freight, you know, shipment, and that it goes beyond just the physical movement of goods, whether it's a container and all the associated transportation modes, but it's also the movement in a timely and accurate manner of information and documents, right? And that has an impact on, you know, the total landed cost that you mentioned, as well as could have a negative impact on, you know, lead time and service time if, you know, some of that information is missing or not accurate and things get delayed at customs. You know, certainly something that I, you know, over the years I've seen a lot of shippers really struggle with, you know, in terms of things falling through a black hole at, you know, at customs clearance getting delayed, thus delaying their ability to replenish stores, so on and so forth, because things are stuck at customs and it takes them a few days to figure out, you know, what the root cause is. I think the other area that I see a lot of traction or focus in this is around international e-commerce and the role that you know, customs compliance is playing. And do you see that as well, Joanne?
Yeah, I think one of the trend right now is the increasing demand on the e-commerce kind of shipments, and you know, typically you can't treat it as a personal effect. I think years ago when it actually became something that is more popular in Asia, you know, people try, even I try to get away with it, and you know, telling the retailer that, you know, could you just adjust the invoice for me? But it's not so much the case right now, because the customs sees an opportunity. So there are proper documentations that needs to go with it. And one of it is actually the import of origin details. So, you know, if we look at a customer wanting to capture data in an e-commerce environment, there is a different criteria of data that they do want to capture into the reporting as well.
Great. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that if you do have a question for Doug and Joanne, now might be the time to ask. You know, I've got that we're kind of running a little bit short on time here, but I've got a couple of more, you know, a few more questions. So Doug, coming back to you now, you know, in terms of, you know, managing global freight management, you know, performance, you know, what are some of the fundamental metrics that companies should, you know, consider tracking?
Sure, Adrian. I think there are two things in your question there. First off is the fundamentals, and then secondly, the applicable metrics measurements for that. Well, let's straighten away those fundamentals first and discuss some applicable metrics. Yeah, I think there are really three keys to keep in mind to gain cost effectiveness and overall operational efficiency. Yeah, the first being to gain visibility to consistent, normalized data across the entire global transportation network. The businesses need to understand the size and scope of their transportation network, their transportation modes and spends. You know, knowing what's happening across the organization can be difficult when you're talking about various operational and cultural systems that, you know, oftentimes lead to disconnect and, you know, make gathering of the comprehensive data and communication of it a challenge. So, you know, on the global scale, take a look. Larger corporations, conglomerates often have their hands full, you know, trying to integrate the various platforms that they have, you know, amongst companies that they're merging, acquiring, or various divisions that may work off of separate ERPs or TMSs, or not even have those type of systems in place. And then there's also the challenge to access and understand various languages, you know, city naming conventions, port naming conventions, currency used by various vendors, and blending all of this into a single homogeneous, consistent database and form. So, you know, some of the metrics to start with here, Earlier you mentioned gathering and understanding your spend. So, completing a global transportation spend diagram exercise is invaluable, and then periodically reevaluating that for all inbound, outbound, prepaid, collect, third party, all divisions across the company, all spends that you have. Also be sure to measure the carriers on not just at the global level and leave it at that, but also down at a country level. One carrier may have a particular group, organization, agency in one part of the world, a different agency set up in another part of the globe. And so if you measure your individual carriers at a high global level, it may hide where the actual challenges are happening. So again, make sure that you're measuring your providers at a country type of level. The second area is understanding and acting on compliance and regulatory rules that vary country by country. So, global trade management platforms and programs, moving beyond currencies and languages, knowing, keeping track of countries that have their own unique sets of rules for importing and exporting. Not just building that database once, but having a program that keeps up with the constant changes that are occurring around the world, at all times. And then the third point is also be able to communicate both electronically and via paper-based documents. Here stateside, we often try to move from a paper environment to an electronic environment to gain scale and efficiency. But there are parts and there are requirements in countries where you'll still need to be able to process, be able to store, and have ready access to paper-based documents. So those are some of the fundamentals, a few metrics there to also keep in mind.
Right. No, I think those are all good suggestions there. I mean, another one that I see, and I'm curious if you see it as well, shippers in particular doing this, is going back to data quality. Really putting some metrics in place to measure and track the data quality that they're getting from their extended trading partners, whether it's carriers or suppliers or other folks, in terms of making sure that they're getting timely, accurate, and complete data and information. Do you see that as kind of a leading practice in terms of having some metrics around data quality and data quality management?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's very imperative, and if you keep it down at the basic fundamental level, to make sure that the right service provider is paid the right amount, at the right time. Sounds simple, but in order to make that happen at scale, you need to make sure that you're receiving documentation, whether it's electronic or paper-based, from the shipper, also from the service provider, and being able to measure those as we do, what is the days that it takes from start to receipt of those first documents, and then you start measuring the accuracy of those documents by pointing out where those inaccuracies occur and measuring that service improvement over time. So, yeah, I fully agree with you, Adrian, that data accuracy is critically important.
Great. Now let's talk about, Joanne, we talked about the importance of people before. So from a people perspective, are you seeing companies, building internal, competence in global freight management, or are they depending more on, 3PLs and other parties to assist in this area?
Good point on that one, because a couple of weeks ago I actually attended a seminar related to supply chain and had the opportunity to meet a lot with customers in retail and manufacturing side. So a lot of them are there for a reason, looking for a partner, or looking to change, another partner or add on another partner. So I see a lot of companies go down the 3PL route, and that's in, the first start of it, typically in Asia as well. And the environment today pushes a lot of the 3PLs, providing, to push them to do more value-added services for these companies. But it goes beyond just moving the freight, like I mentioned before. So some of it is changing. We're seeing the emerging of other freight management partners come to play as well. And we develop, for us, we develop solutions to cope with these market challenges too. So most companies would tell you, why they look into working more with 3PLs. It's really, they look at it as time saving and money. So it actually reduces the amount of infrastructure investments in equipment, software, as well as people. For many companies, because distribution is not really the core competency, so this company's forces they focus on expertise and talents in product development and then sales and marketing. So they leave it to the hands of experts to actually provide that distribution service for them. It's actually a sensible choice to actually have the 3PLs to actually do that piece of the business for them, and handling the expert of the business that the company simply isn't good at. Internally. So having a freight management partner to also provide that an unbiased proposal in who these capable 3PLs are as well. And that is if the companies decide to look at a freight management partner in state to provide a solution for them. And we at the end of the day, it's always looking at companies meeting the company's requirements in relation to budget, freight warehousing and technology requirements. One of the advantages as well I see is it gives the companies, to utilize more carriers out there. Today, there are companies working with freight management partners in analyzing their freight shipment activity, the shipment spent, and performing some kind of audit on their logistics spend with the 3PL. So with a drive on such data visibility, such partners are able to work towards cost down initiatives with the initiation of the RFQ, managing the process with the company and the preferred 3PLs. So companies are now wanting to know what their competitors are doing. In fact, they're more receptive to know what benefits them. So for example, an established freight management partner is probably more effective than an internal resource in producing competitive benchmarking projects. So I'm going to look at an e-commerce environment again, because it's a really hot topic right now in Asia. There's a huge demand in companies in this area of the e-commerce side. It's really to outsource the last mile delivery operations to end customers. So even for a tiny island like Singapore, from one end to another end, it's only just a 1 hour drive, really. But with such it's more country, companies are able to still provide delivery time options to their consumers. We're looking at evening delivery, weekend delivery that includes Sunday delivery within Singapore or even just cross-border deliveries, So one of the advantages why companies are looking to this kind of outsource with the 3PLs is to build a transactional style business relationship with the providers. So if companies' volumes go up or down, which again companies are given visibility on transactional or any kind of dashboard push or pull reporting related to on-time delivery allows them to really drive decisions and or enables their providers to adjust. So companies at the end of the day, enjoy a great financial benefit from such a delivery model at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, a lot of great food for thought there. Certainly, I think one of the which you touched upon, one of the advantages or the key benefits of working with a third party or 3PL is that they bring that broader perspective, if you will. When, the fact that they're working with multiple companies across multiple industries, and in many cases they can bring that knowledge, that expertise, particularly on the ground, by country expertise to the table that might be difficult for individual companies to try to build internally. I certainly see that. I mean, certainly you've got the very large companies that have a global footprint and are able to kind of procure that talent internally, but I would say that's the minority. I think for a lot of companies, they're really looking for that expertise externally that could bring to the table, right? So I think for a lot of, I think as you noted, 3PLs is they go the value that they bring is beyond just the physical movement of the goods. It's part of the value is bringing in this knowledge, this expertise, and this broader intelligence of what's happening in the marketplace, to bear. We're coming up short on time here, so I'm just going to go to my last question. And Doug, I'll start with you, and then Joanne, you can add your thoughts as well. You know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what questions should shippers ask themselves to, you know, assess whether their global freight management, processes are kind of on the forefront or whether they're a laggard in this area?
Okay. Adrian, a couple thoughts to share. I think maybe that first question, comes down to asking yourself, how truly effective are we with implementation and integration, both internally as our own organization and also externally with our trading partners, around the globe? The next question would be to really ask, have we completed that global transportation spend diagram exercise? If so, do you trust it? And if you do, what have you done to verify that accuracy? Asking yourselves those two questions on integration implementation, understanding the transportation network, maybe in the overall context of first off as current state processes. If we're doing a good job here, is our current state effective, not only where we are today, but what's our vision of where we need to be going tomorrow to expand our global footprint? And are our current processes, if effective, to get to that desired future state and vision, if they are effective, then are they going to be repeatable to where we're not located today, but will be tomorrow? And if your current state doesn't come up to par, then what do we need to do to fix that towards that future vision? So those are a couple of questions that that I think people should ask themselves, and they'll figure it out if they're a leader or a laggard from their own answers.
Great. Joanne, your thoughts on the question?
For me, it's more on the talent pool. I think this has actually drastically changed a lot. I find that basically, be it whether you're in a developed country or emerging markets like India or China, that's still a challenge in looking at this talent pool out there, in a supply chain area. I brought it up because it takes a set of skills and also leadership and having the ability to make decisions on demand and able to present themselves to senior management. And whether or not these companies have talents based on cross-functional competencies, essential for supply chain professionals and, of course, organization success. So these are the areas of my concern, which companies can ask themselves.
Great. All great points and a great way to kind of wrap up the conversation today. As I always mention at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface. And especially with this topic, global freight management, I mean, there's so much, so many dimensions to it that we could, we could probably host a full day conference on this whole topic and still not be done with it. So, but I think we got a good start today in terms of raising some important questions and some important food for thought. For those that are watching. So again, Doug and Joanne, thank you very much for making the time and joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Adrian.
Appreciate it, Adrian.
And I want to thank those of you that have joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this program on demand and you do have a question for Doug or Joanne, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com. And you can post a question there, and I'm sure Doug and Joanne will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.